good. Hope you are.
Oh, I'm doing all right. Mansfield Dirksen came down and dumped the CIA stuff in my lap. Damn fool.
I didn't see what you had to do with it, but they said they were going to.
It's the damnedest fool thing I ever saw. I told them that I didn't ever want to order anybody to tell any secrets to anyone that they didn't trust.
Well, the rules of the Senate take care of the situation, and the practical matter, why, you it's not in your domain.
I want to talk to you about it before I give an answer. I told them that I wasn't supposed to give any such instruction. I want to think it over. Dirksen said he didn't think I ought to. Mansfield, I asked him, I said, what would you do if you were in my shoe? Oh, he said, that's a very difficult matter. He wouldn't take a position.
Oh, well, he'd take a strong position. He told me he was strongly in favor of doing it this way and all. And I said, well, he brought this up. I said, well, of course, you've got something out. I don't have any control over it. If Fulbright wants to appoint a subcommittee, he can appoint it. And the president wants to order the CIA to spill its guts to anybody in the world, well, he's got a right to do that. And so it's out of my hands. I got no control of it.
What do you think about I'm giving it to this Clark Clifford committee. They've been doing it. Clifford's going to come in the administration, I think. And I could just abolish that committee and just tell them I don't think it. I think the trouble is that too many got supervision now. Just leave it up to the ones that got it under the rules of the Congress.
Well, we got the votes finally. I've had to operate a lot around, but I've got enough to beat the ass off of them. Just that little disarmament crowd of Nelson, McGovern, Fulbright, Morris. Oh, they got 25 votes, I reckon, maybe 35. But I got plenty to beat them. I think you're on high ground when you just say that's an internal matter in the Senate, and you just don't feel at liberty to invade the procedures of the Senate. You, of course, press legislation there under the Senate procedures, but you don't feel that you should undertake the directive procedures. It's an invasion by the executive and the legislative. The legislative don't want to invade the executive. Dirksen scared Mansfield off. Mansfield was red hot on it until he talked to Dirksen.
What's happening in Georgia?
It's the damnedest mess down there I have ever seen. It is the worst mess, that government's business, that I have ever seen in my life. He announced it sort of shocked him, and he came out 3 days later and said he wasn't going to run, couldn't run. So it has truly left him in a mess. And I wish, if I were a young man about 35 years old down there in the state legislature, I could just clean that whole crowd out one end or the other. They got a lot of them running, but none of them are very strong. None of them have any great popular appeal.
We got a pretty disastrous poll coming up on Vietnam. It's about 35-36% want to get out. About 40% approve what we're doing, the way I'm handling it. About 41% approve the way I'm doing it. About 36% are disapprove.
Well, you're going to have to do something different out there. If you don't, you're going to eventually get in trouble. McNamara gave you some good advice on that.
What's that?
About pushing it a little bit harder.
Well, he's not advising that now. We've got until we get a government, until we get them propped up. Nobody really
is. I think the government's straightened itself out pretty well out there.
Well, not yet. It's on its way to doing it, but it's not.
Well, I don't think it ever will. Be clamped down and be a real government anymore, and I think you're going to have one in San Domingo. You may have one for a year.
Oh, we did a pretty good job there.
Did a hell of a good job. I'm sure it cost us a lot of money, but we did a good job.
Well, it cost as much as it cost us if it had been another Cuba. You know, it's not costing us as much as the best investment we've made. These goddamn Washington Post, New York Times, or whatever say so, just like the don't Panama or Brazil or Chile or any other place that we've saved from the shape they got it in. But what happened there?
Russians know more about our military system than I do.
They know more about everything that happens than we do.
And they know that we've got a very strong system. It's weakening greatly the way they're running it. It's going to be sort of a hodgepodge.
Don't you believe that this system is stronger than it was when we came into office? A hell of a lot?
Yes, but...
What do you mean it's being weakened?
It's losing ground now.
Well, of course it's...
It's losing ground awfully because of your rigid position on the reserves, Mr. President. These reserves, you're picking and pulling all the people out of Europe and sending them over there and filling them up with the draft.
We ain't got a shirt tail full out of Europe. Not a shirt tail.
Well, we took 17,000.
15, that don't amount to a damn thing.
Well,
we exchanged them. We moved them around back in and out.
I know, but you put a lot of draftees in there. But why in the world you don't put some of those people from Europe in these reserve divisions and take these reservists out and let them go to fight is something I can't understand. Because there's nothing...
Well, you may get a request up there some morning.
There's nothing in combat like having a man that knows what he's doing somewhere along with a squad of 7, 8, 3 men.
Our boys know what they're doing.
Well,
they're doing it damn well.
These reserves that don't know. Because, by golly, and McNamara just sits up there and testifies like he thinks these 6 reserve divisions and 12 reserve brigades are just equal to anything in the United States or in the world, anywhere else, and I know damn well they aren't, because I've been out with them.
First place, if we tried to call them up, by God, we'd have to kiss you all around and hug you for weeks.
I'm not in favor of calling them all up. I'm in favor of calling them up selectively. According to the MOA.
We wouldn't anymore get them up until, by God, they'd have to go back. And we just, all we do is satisfy old Jake Carlton, and that'd be the only one we'd do, and everybody
else
would be getting
it. I didn't know Jake Carlton. I didn't even know his position.
Oh, hell, you know, by God, he and Stennis been hammering us over the head about that.
I know, but they've been doing it about keeping the reserves compartmentalized like they are now.
They tell me that they only
got... with the regular establishment.
You got one old man over there, Johnson, that thought he couldn't get along without him for a while until they showed him what he had and waked him up. Now, I think he's happy and satisfied. And he doesn't think it. And if we called him up, you'd have to give us legislation, wouldn't you?
Well, we can get legislation if we don't have to, because you can just proclaim limited emergency.
I could get us in the hell of a big war, and I'd go to messing around here, too. I don't know what kind of agreements these folks got with the Russians. I'm going to be awful careful about...
Well, I agree with you on that, as far as making it a declaration of war, but...
That's right.
Anything short of that, I don't think it's dangerous. No, I'm...
We may have to call them up, but when I do, I'm going to make you all run like turkeys. You're going to say, well, can't do it for over about 12 months or 14 months. I'll just have one goddamn constant...
I didn't burn in because I knew that was all a fraud. It wasn't in need of calling them up. And I put that 12 months in there. But it's going to be 24 months now, just like a draftee, if I have anything to do with it.
Well, you can write your ticket on it. Now, you better give us plenty of time because I may... You know about the fellow, don't you, that made the speech on sex and...
Well, that's that's all I can do now is make a speech on it. I don't remember that far back, but
did I ever tell you that story?
No.
Well, a fella came home one night and he's late and his wife laying up waiting for him about midnight and said, "Where in the hell have you been?" And he about half drunk and he apologized and said, "Well, honey, I stopped off at the club and said they all got to drinking and they asked me to make them a speech and I made them a speech." She said, "What did you talk about?" He said, "Aviation." Said, "We're talking about putting an aviation service in the company." And I talked to him about aviation. She turned over and went on to sleep. Next day, she's down at the grocery store, and a woman came up and said, "Oh, God," said, "your husband must have made a wonderful speech last night." Said, "My husband came home midnight, waked me up, turned me over, and said, oh, we had a wonderful evening." Said, another thing, she got down to the checker and started to check out her groceries. Said, "Oh, your husband," said, "that he must have made a wonderful speech last night." Said, "My husband says the most inspiring speech here." And the third one, she got in the car and told her the same thing. She said, "Well, I don't know why it was such a damn good speech. Said, he knows very little about the subject." Said, "Only experience," said, "the only experience he's ever had in his whole damn life, he just had two experiences." And said, "The first time he got sick at his stomach, the second time his hat blew off." Said, "He just had two experiences. He'd just been up the plane twice." And said, "The first time he got sick, his stomach."
Well, I've had more experiences than that, but it has been in the past.
But you better hold on to your hat. Your hat's going to blow off when you go to recommending what we do out there, because we may have to have ten or fifteen billion dollars.
Well, you're going to spend $30 billion, Mr. President.
We may have to have $10 or $15 billion more. We may have to have reserve legislation. We may have to have a big tax bill.
I'm ready right now to bring in the appropriations for it, and I think it'd be better than using that damn dole law that Mr. McNamara's going to use. But I'm willing to go either way. We can get the appropriation. I can get it through, and I've talked to George Mahon. He says he can get it through the House.
Don't you think I'd be in a hell of a shape, though, if I called up the reserves between now and...
I don't mean to call him up his organization, Mr. President. I wouldn't do that at all. I wouldn't call up this division or that brigade. I would just mix up a lot of these people. I'd call them up as individuals under the MOS, just like you're calling up these draftees, because you've got a sanctuary there for all of these, there's 400,000 of them yet. That are in these reserve organizations. And they're the best brains and they're the best boys physically. They all came up when we wasn't having to scrape the bottom of the barrel. And we ought to mix them up and send some of these, bring me some of these boys that have done that 12 months back from Vietnam and put them in these divisions where these divisions will be ready to fight.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make
in these divisions that have ever fought in, and it's just poppycock to say that they can get out here and hold their own with anybody because they haven't got any experienced people with them.
Let me make a deal with you. I'll work on the reserve thing and follow your suggestions on that. If you follow mine on letting me call up everybody. Let me draft all of them. Give me a little step program like you promised me one time. You made me a firm commitment and then ran out on me.
$12,500.
That's right. That's what you told me at the ranch. $12,500. But you just let me call up these damn folks and get them off the marijuana and out of the jungles and out of the rats eating on them and let me put them out in these damn camps and work hell out of them.
Won't you?
Work hell out of them and feed them. I'm going to do it for 100
or so. You can call them up today.
But I don't want you fussing at me.
I won't say a critical word. Not one.
And
I think you're going to waste a lot of money on them and all, but it's all right.
I'm going to waste it. I mean, don't cost as much as Shriver.
That's right.
As Shriver.
Oh, of course not.
Well?
Shriver's the most extravagant man ever in the agency of the national government. He has the most visionary.
Are you and Berkson going to keep my budget in terms this year?
Keep what?
Keep my budget within bounds this year?
No. I don't think it's going to be possible to, Mr. Berkson.
Well, I think you could. You've got they've got about $4 billion. They've raised it now in the committees. And I know some of it you can't touch. One of it you can't can't touch this GI bill because all of them run about it. You just got scared to death.
I was ready to vote against that. You just got in chance at all.
You just got scared to death. Somebody running against you down there.
Didn't the damn thing scare me?
You just as bad as you. You're a statesman, but by God, you're worse than Ralph Yarbrough on election year. I never saw. You like
maybe
Obama.
So, but I voted. I when I found out that old Eisenhower was going to veto the thing.